Good morning, and echoing what's already been said, if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. If you have joined us previously, welcome back. Now, I know a number of us are feeling a little blah. It's like 6 weeks. Well, why don't we, as Jamie has mentioned, take this opportunity, take this time to encourage, to uplift each other. He mentioned this, Jamie mentioned this in the Living His Love segment, but I also mentioned it in the newsletter that maybe we can, even as we are live streaming from home, that we can maybe send a message out to someone who we actually haven't been in contact with. In fact, I challenge you to reach out to three people every week for the next 5 to 6 weeks. Just a simple phone call, text message, email. I've actually received a couple for myself, just to encourage me, and you know who you are. Thank you so much. It's very, very much appreciated. Even as we are, as ministers are called to minister, it's really nice to be able to be ministered to in return. In the newsletter, you will also notice, as I mentioned, a new segment called Are We There Yet? / hashtag back to our building. Basically, we wanted to compile everything that's relevant into the one segment. So it doesn't have everything, but it has just about enough of the core essential information pertaining to the restrictions and, of course, about our journey in going back to our church building. I think in the next couple of weeks, there probably isn't as much to update, but I won't go into all the details and repeat what's already there, so have a look at the newsletter. At some stage, we're going to do a poll as well, because we want to involve you, in this journey back to our church building. But as we've said many times, even though the building is closed, the church is not. And speaking of which, you saw the choir today. Make sure you submit. The next one is actually not that complicated. If I can do it, so can everybody else. So make sure you follow the instructions. We will again put more of that out in the newsletter. We'd love to have you be part of the church choir. Before I get into our message for today, I mentioned that we are starting a new series. In fact, we're going to be starting on July 25th. Markel, our YPW or youth pastoral worker, is preaching next week, but on July 25th, we're going to do a four-part series on the seven churches of Revelation. Now you're thinking, seven churches, four parts, how does that work? Well, tune in on July 25th to find out. And then in the final quarter of the year, we are going to do a Ten Commandments series, which will go over. That's right, 10 weeks, 10 parts. So more of that coming. But enough of me talking. I want to get into our message for today. I invite you to bow your heads as we pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are feeling perhaps a little bit down and discouraged, but Lord, we want to thank you that we can still worship together, that we can still have this opportunity to come together, to worship as a church family. Lord, as we finish out this I Am series, Lord, my prayer remains the same today and forevermore, as long as you've called me to preach, that Lord, you will hide the messenger behind the message and behind the cross of Calvary, that any and all glory goes back to you and to you alone. I pray that you don't just open our minds, but that you open our hearts as well as we open your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's get into our message for today. I was going to make a joke about how I can preach really long again since we're at home again and we can't go anywhere. But I'm not going to joke about sermon length this time. In fact, this sermon might end up being a little bit shorter. We'll find out. We'll see. Most of you probably don't believe me anymore when I say that. I know you're comfortable at home, but I'm really hoping that today's message, which I dare say is probably the simplest, not necessarily the easiest, out of the entire series thus far, will challenge and maybe encourage you and hopefully, perhaps, cause you to think outside of your comfort zone. Okay? We are in the final part of our I Am series. Now, I actually want to take a few minutes, maybe the first third of the sermon, to do a recap before we bring everything back together. And even though there are seven I Am statements, we did this as an eight-part series because we started simply with the statement, I am. So I want to do a recap because all of that kind of leads to the conclusion that we have today. Okay. And I think it's a good refresher as well to go through the seven statements, or rather the six statements, plus the introduction. So we started off with the premise that Jesus is God, going solely by his claim, or more specifically, his statement that simply says, I am. Now, we looked at it from the perspective that we had looked at before when we did another series. And this is the flow chart that we came up with. That if Jesus did not exist and did not claim to be God, then he is basically a legend. So on par with Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster. Now, of course, if Jesus did claim to be God, there are two options. It is either false or it is true. And if it was false, we are then left with also two options. He's either a lunatic or a liar. Because a lunatic, someone who is crazy, because only someone who is crazy will claim to be God. And if it's false, then he's a liar because he knows he's not. He's just making it up as he goes along. And finally, of course, if it's true to Jesus' claims to being God when he says, I am, then we have to acknowledge him and call him Lord. We went through a logical progression for each of them. And we spent a fair bit of time, which I won't spend today. But here's the ultimate question that I left with everyone. Who is Jesus Christ to me? This is the same question that I want to leave with you at the end of our series today. At the end, not just of our message, but at the end of our series today. Our journey through the not just today's sermon, not just the introduction, but the entire series comes down to this one question that I posed more than 10 weeks ago. Who is Jesus Christ to me? You see, all the statements, all of these I am statements, the six statements that we've studied, plus the one we're going to do today, is meant to help us understand and answer the question of who Jesus is to us. I want you to keep that in mind. But I want to now do a recap of all the statements. And without cheating, do you remember the first one that we started with? Jesus says, I am. And I actually thought about interacting with the live chat again as I've done. I feel like it may take too long. Maybe I'll do it again in a future sermon. Especially as I'm not pushing the buttons this time. But maybe I'll just give you a moment to see if, you know, you can jog your memory and remember these statements. The first I am statement, Jesus made this in John chapter 6, verses 35 to 48. He says, I am, that's right, I am the bread of life. He's the one who cares not only for our physical life, our bios, where we get biology from. He doesn't care for just for our physical life, but more importantly, he cares for our spiritual life, our Zoe. That's a beautiful name, Zoe. Our spiritual life, our Zoe. It's this that brings us meaning and purpose. Okay, that's the first statement, I am the bread of life that Jesus makes. The second statement, which I took us through, is found in John chapter 8, verses 12 and John chapter 9, verse 5. Jesus says, I am, and I wore my sunnies, I am the light of the world. So it's a call to follow him, but more importantly, to turn and face him. So we often let our preconceived ideas, just like the Pharisees, dim the light, so to speak. Or worse yet, when we are even in the presence of the light, we turn our backs toward him, And that causes us to face basically only the shadows and the darkness, even if we are in the presence of light. So the key essence of this statement of Jesus saying, I'm the light, is a call to make the choice to face him so that we can literally put our shadows and our darkness behind us. So he says, I am the light of the world. Okay, I'm the bread, I'm the light. The third statement is found in John chapter 10 and verse 7. And Dan took this for us. Now, if you guessed, I am the gate or the door, you would be correct. Those two words, gate and door, are used interchangeably depending on which version you use. You know, many people believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Many Christians believe that. But in practice, we tend to want to work our way there without Christ. This teaching is specifically designed for the believers, his sheep, as Jesus calls him. And we are called to sleep under the door of Christ. More importantly, very importantly, the pastor, the teacher, the layperson, you, we have to make Christ the center of all truth. And that's what we're going to be doing with our seven churches in just a couple of weeks. Jesus is the gate or the door. So, the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate or the door. Statement number four is directly tied to statement number three. He says this in John chapter 10, verses 11 to 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. That's right. He's the good shepherd because he does four things for his sheep. Not just any shepherd. He's the good shepherd because he loves his sheep. He cares for his sheep. He protects his sheep. And he knows his sheep. He's a personal God, one who cares for us at the deepest level. And that was actually a personal challenge to me, that I love, care, protect, and know those that God has entrusted to me. It's a daunting challenge indeed, not just for pastors, not just for me, not just for Dan, but for every one of you who have sheep under your care, whether it be your children or someone younger in faith than you. He calls us to be the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd, and he calls us to love just like he loves, cares just like he cares, protects just like he protects, and knows his sheep just like he knows his sheep. Okay, statement number five is mentioned in John 11 and verse 25. Jesus specifically says, I am the resurrection and the life. If you remember, we went through the story of Lazarus being risen from the dead, and we discussed or studied the two main interactions between Jesus, firstly with Martha, and then secondly with Mary. And there are two lessons that we drew out from this. Firstly, Jesus wants us to know him and love him for who he is, not what he can do. And secondly, when you cry, well, the shortest and probably one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, John chapter 11 and verse 35, Jesus wept. Because when you weep, Jesus weeps with you regardless of the end result. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And finally, last week, Jesus says in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus' teachings, and admittedly, Dan and I, when we were talking about this, this might be a difficult one. But his teachings coalesce in this timely message in John chapter 14 about salvation, about heaven. And there are many people who claim to show the way, the truth, and the life, but Jesus says, I am. You know, people will be judged on the light that is given to them, knowing that Jesus will try his absolute hardest to bring as many people unto him as possible. So today, we look at the final statement, the final I am statement, as found in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 5, where he says, I am the true vine. All right, looking at your screen quickly, he said, I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate or the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, we are tying it all together when he says, I am the true vine. I believe that the simplicity of this message is also in some ways a summary of all of the previous six statements, including the introduction that we had done earlier. So we're going to spend all our time today only in John, just five verses. So I'm gonna, sometimes I like to throw in the Greek and the Hebrew and you know, just to do an exegesis, as they say. But today, as we wrap it all up, I'm going to keep it a little bit simple. We're going to look at John chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. Otherwise, I'm going to put it on the screen right now, and you can read along with us. John 15, verses 1 to 5. The Bible says, in Jesus' own words, I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, this is pretty straightforward, isn't it? In fact, John chapter 15, verse 5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, he will bring more. He will bring forth much fruit, because without me, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's actually a really good memory verse. If you're looking for a verse to remember, that's a good one. But it's straightforward because the Bible simply says this. Remain in Jesus and you will bear fruit. Be apart from him and you can't really bear fruit. Now, straightforward as it sounds, it's also harsh. I mean, especially that last statement. Let me put it up on the screen again at the bottom. He says, he will bear much fruit because apart from me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but nobody likes to be told that they can do nothing. I mean, there are some things I can do that are at least nice, I would think. But Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. The truth is, I believe that Jesus is trying to make a really strong point here. Because at the very essence of sin is selfishness. There's an inherent desire to trust self more than anything else. In fact, it's so dangerous. Jesus says that he's not just the vine. He starts off by saying in John 15 and verse 1, he says that he is the true vine. He is the true vine. The implication then is that there is a false vine. There is a false branch of Christianity that doesn't bear fruit. Just because you call yourself a Christian, just because, you know, I have listened to all six statements of Jesus, I go to church, I return my offerings, and all of that, there could possibly be a false vine that you might be adhering to that seems like the real thing, but it's not. I put this quote up before. I think it was over a year ago now, probably more than that, maybe a year and a half ago. To make a similar point, I've done this a couple of times in One Turner Church. Some of you will remember this straight away. I'll put this quote up again. It's by, you will recognize this person immediately, Gandhi. This is what he says. He says, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. So here's the question once again. Where did Gandhi find his picture of Jesus from? He hasn't met the man, I know that. And as last I checked, Gandhi was not a... He was a Hindu, I believe. Gandhi read the Bible. He's like, wait a minute. The Christians that I've seen, the ones who call themselves Christians, is not like Jesus at all. A false vine, supposedly. You don't have to go far to find many unchristlike Christians. You know, I type in unchristlike behavior, I can't remember the search term, into Google, and this is one of the pictures that popped up. Look at that. I've censored a couple of them because they're just inappropriate. God hates Jews. You're going to hell. You know, God hates you. America is doomed. Well, there's maybe some truth in that. No peace for the wicked. I mean, the worst thing about the whole thing, about I don't know what point they're trying to make. The thing is, they can probably seemingly justify some of this truth, with totally out of context Bible verses. I mean, if you were not a Christian, what does this look like to you? I mean, I will totally join your church. In fact, let me show you the homepage of, and I have no problem naming and shaming this church. In fact, I believe the picture that I put up just before was one of the protests or picketing organized by them, whatever they call it. Let me show you the homepage of the Westboro Baptist Church. They are almost classified as a hate group. I believe they're the ones behind this photo right here. Anyway, this is their homepage, the Westboro Baptist Church. I looked at it yesterday because I wanted to get the most up-to-date screenshot. And listen to the latest sermon, Christ's Farewell, or rather look at the latest sermon, Christ's Farewell Discourse, Jesus Loves His Own. I'm like, that's nice. God is sovereign overall. Oh, that's okay. You know, not quite. But then you scroll down and you literally see this on the left, Jesus Christ's references to hell. And that is a featured doctrine. And then on the right, God sent the coronavirus in fury. Repent and pray for mercy. You know, I could show you more. I read through a couple of things on their page and I'm just like, yep, this is exactly what I expected them to be. These guys clearly are not Christians. They're not. Even the atheists can see that. But here's the thing. They actually can't. They actually believe that they are Christians doing God's work. And so we go back to our passage for today. Jesus says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. There is a false vine, and the basic lesson is simply this. To know if we are connected to the true vine and not any false vine, our fruits have to show. Now, this is not salvation by works, you know, in any way, shape, or form. We've covered that in our previous series already. It's nothing to do with that whatsoever, okay? And that's why it's a series. I want a momentary ad break. If you miss any of our previous sermons, go to our webpage, oneturner.adventist.org.au, and you will be able to find the sermons on our YouTube channel as well, of course, One Turner Adventist Visual Experience. You can find our previous sermons. But Jesus makes it clear in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20. He says, thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. It is by their fruit, another version says, that you will know them. See, the whole purpose of Jesus being the true vine is so that we can be connected to him, so that we are an extension of him, literally, so that we can be more like him. You know, when It's all said and done when we've studied the theology and done everything else. The question that I have for you is simply this. Do people see Jesus in you and in me? Are we an extension of him in how we behave, in how we act? Now, as a Christian, you're like, oh, of course, of course. Your answer should be yes. But Jesus is saying this. Apart from me, you actually cannot bear fruit. You may think you're bearing fruit. You may think you are connected to the vine, but it may be a false vine. It may be a false branch of Christianity. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. He makes this statement for a very, very good reason. You see, we can easily be Christians when we're in church, you know, when we are comfortable in our bed, watching Yoshi in a sermon, when it's nice, when, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, of course we're Christians. We tune in faithfully on a Saturday morning. We tune in for Sabbath school. We return our offerings. We do all that stuff. Yeah, we're good Christians. But to be connected to the vine and to be bearing fruit means that you need to bear fruit all the time. All the time. Let me put up a list of questions. Maybe you can relate to this. To be connected to the vine and to be bearing fruit, that's easy under normal circumstances. But what about when someone cuts you off in traffic? When someone is rude to you? When an enemy hurts you, when a friend betrays you, when someone does something you are totally uncomfortable with, when someone disagrees with you, when your coworker upsets you, when someone is being totally unreasonable. What do you do when you need to act like Jesus and you are put in a situation where you want to do anything but act like Jesus? You want to give him a piece of your mind. Because apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Our inherent selfish nature within us almost justifies us to tell this person off, to punch him in the face with a Christian loving fist, right? But Jesus is to bear fruit all the time. You have to be connected to me all the time. And so here's the point of the sermon. It's actually very, very simple. Not necessarily easy, but simple. When Jesus says, I'm the true vine, he is really saying we need to be an extension of him, to be a part of him in everything that we say, do, and think. How do we do that? By the way, the word abide, I can really, really touch on so much more, but we won't today. But I want to finish up with the question that I asked at the beginning of this sermon, but also at the beginning of this entire series. And the question, again, is this. Who is Jesus Christ to me? Who is Jesus Christ to me? If we're able to truly answer this question, how do we answer this question, actually? You can start by maybe answering the question of, why do you go to church? Is it because you like the certain preacher? Well, that's all right. Is it because you like a certain style of music? That's nothing inherently wrong. But if you truly want to ask the question, who is Jesus Christ to me? You should be able to say, I want him to be my lord. So regardless of the preacher, the music, what's happening around the world, no matter who treats you in one way, shape or form, the other, you want to be an extension of him. You want to be connected to the true vine to bear fruit. It's simple, but it's not easy. Because our human nature rebels and fights against this natural connection. Over this next 6 weeks, I want to challenge you. Now that we're in lockdown, what better way to spend, you know, a bit more time in connecting and in abiding in Jesus? And maybe some of that fruit that you will automatically bear as a result will come forth. You know, church, connecting to Jesus isn't, I need to correct my words. I said it's simple, but it's not easy. It's actually simple, and it's also easy, but it's difficult because we make it difficult. It's easy when we simply just open our Bibles and connect with Jesus. Don't worry, in fact, about bearing fruit, because the fruit comes after we are connected, we are grafted and molded into the true vine. Our job is to focus on Jesus, to get to know him, to be connected to the true vine. And the branches and the fruit rather and everything else, they'll just come along easily. They'll just come along automatically. So church, as we finish out this I Am series, I have personally been very blessed, I know Dan has as well, in just discovering different aspects of Jesus and who he is. But my prayer ultimately is that it's not just a head knowledge, you know, it's like, oh, I can say I'm the bread of life, the light, the gate, the door, and all I can recite, all it doesn't really matter. Because ultimately the most important thing about studying this series, about studying the Bible, about church, is to be connected to the true vine and to reflect him for who he is. So no matter what happens around you, church, I pray that we will turn our eyes upon Jesus, as this closing song says. Pray with me. Father in heaven, Lord, we just want to thank you indeed. Lord, it's been a journey through these seven statements in the book of John, the seven I Am statements. But Lord, it comes down to one thing and one reason. You want us to be connected to you. You want us to be an extension of you. You want us to bear fruit. You want us to show your love to others just as you've shown your love to us. So as we go forth from here in this next 6 weeks, we're going to be at home. Help us to take the opportunity to spend that bit more time to get to know you, to draw closer to you. And may our fruits be manifest and may others know us because of who you are and the fruits that are manifested because we are connected to you. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.